6:45. All kinds of stories out there today that in a normal news day, if there is such a thing, would be probably our top stories. Today, President Donald Trump's steel and aluminum tariffs on Canada double. 25% now becomes 50%. This is a major story that is just taking a little bit of a backseat with all, of course, the other big developments in the city. But it's not lost on us how important this story is. We'll get the very latest interest rate decision from the Bank of Canada a little bit later this morning. That is big for a lot of people who are closely watching their bank account. Right now, the key interest rate stands at 2.75%. Poll of economists ahead of the decision shows they don't expect things to change. And of course, you've been hearing it. 980 CJME broke it yesterday. The top Mountie in this province just got removed. This is Commanding Officer of F Division, Rhonda Blackmore. In a new letter we obtained from Blackmore, she sent to all members, it says the decision was made senior executives at national headquarters after anonymous complaints were made against her. We have a call into RCMP in Ottawa to hopefully find out more what led to Blackmore's removal, as she calls it. Of course, though, wildfires continues to be our top story. And yeah, we've had smoke, we've had haze, we're continuing to get those. We have questions about that. So we're hearing from family physician Dr. Carla Holinati. The smoke has died down a bit. We're not done with it yet, just because we can't see the ash or particles. Doesn't mean it's not there, right, doctor?
So wildfire smoke itself is a mix of gases, particles, and water vapor in the air that has a whole bunch of different chemicals in it. But it's actually the fine particles that we think probably is the main health risk from wildfire smoke that you're breathing into your lungs and getting deposited into that system that can cause the problem.
Do you ever have patients who come in and suggest they've never had breathing problems until this recurring wildfire smoke?
Yeah, and we're seeing that more and more often as we see smoke be present. So mild symptoms that people often complain of are things like maybe a little bit of a cough, they're feeling like they've got way more mucus or phlegm than usual, maybe they've got sore, burny eyes or nose or throat or a headache. But then we do also see people who get much more sick than that. So sometimes people start having a more significant cough, or they start to wheeze, or they get a bad asthma attack, or they're feeling shortness of breath. And those are the people that we worry much more about and maybe have to do some sort of intervention.
Is there any worry on long-term effects?
Probably, but the danger is that we don't really know very well, and that leaves us in a bit of a gray zone. So there's not a lot of studies on this in regular everyday people. We have some data on sort of chronic exposure to fire smoke in people like firefighters, but then it's hard to try and figure out how to generalize that into the everyday person.
Environment Canada gives us the heads up each day. Dr. Carla Holinati, I'm talking with, regarding air quality right now in Regina. This morning it's at a 3 or low risk. Any precautions, doctor, you can take if you need to go outside for an extended period of time?
Yeah, absolutely. So when the air quality is that bad, that 10 plus, there's actually pretty strong recommendations that people should be considering canceling or rescheduling things that are outside. Now, other things that you can do in your personal life is you can try and protect your indoor air from that smoke getting in. And that would be things like keeping your windows or doors closed as much as possible. But when we also have extreme heat in our environment, we always tell people prioritize keeping cool because that's the more immediate danger. We would also suggest to people doing things like using a good quality air filter in your ventilation system or a portable air purifier or air cleaner in your indoor rooms, and doing things like limiting the use of exhaust fans, like your bathroom fans that bring outdoor air into the indoor air.
There are a lot of parents with kids in outdoor sports activities. We need to be mindful of that.
Yes, and I would think most, you know, organizations probably have a set of guidelines that they're following in terms of what the air quality is and how they restrict things. So if it's an outdoor sports organization like soccer, they should have their own internal policies. If the air quality is sort of that 4 to 6 zone, we would say you should probably be watching pretty carefully and maybe spending less time outside or doing less intense activity. When you're hitting sort of 7 and higher, then we say you know, probably you shouldn't be participating in strenuous activity outside. And then, like I said before, if it's that 10 plus, consider not doing those activities. And you have to consider your own kid. If your kid is a kid who has asthma, particularly if they've got severe asthma, and you know the activity is going to involve outside time at 10 plus, maybe that's a day that you have to make the decision that you're going to keep them home in a safer indoor air environment.
That is Dr. Carla Holinati, a family physician. Shake it up. 6:54 on your Wednesday morning. Yeah, the morning show looks a little bit different. We're shaking things up. Kevin Martell in for Greg Morgan, Andrew Shepherd in for me. Good morning to you, Andrew.
Good morning.
And are you a big Oilers guy? Is this your team now that the Leafs are out, now that the Jets are out of the playoffs? Stanley Cup game one tonight. Are we all on the Edmonton Oilers bandwagon?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess so. As the Canadian team, it would be nice to see a Canadian team win. Are they my team? I don't know if I'd go that far to say that. But I mean, yeah, I don't know. It kind of feels like the Oilers have to win this time around.
I think so too. Yeah, it hasn't happened. A Canadian team winning the Stanley Cup since 1993, the Montreal Canadiens. And so game one tonight, Edmonton Oilers. Speaking of sports, in your news this morning, it looks like there's a brand new decision from City Council. They just had a special council meeting, and it looks like a new sports bar is coming at Real.
Yeah, this will be where the YQR Distillery is. It's going to be replacing that. Council approved a new lease agreement. It's assigned to a company owned by the Brandt Group, putting in $12 million for the project. They kind of hope it's like a spot where people will go before, after Rider games, Pats games. And it should be open partly by September. Now, the distillery never really came to fruition. It was originally set to open 3 years ago, spring
plans.
Of 2022. Big plans, supposed to be state-of-the-art, distillery, brewery, bar, outdoor patio, event, banquet space. And all we got was a liquor store and a drive-thru.
I know other communities have done this in a similar fashion. You'll have, like, you know, the big hockey rink. I'm thinking of, like, Brandon, for example, right? You have a rink and you have a hotel attached. You have a restaurant, maybe not a distillery, but you have like a sports bar.
Even
you
in bigger cities, like in Toronto, like Maple Leaf Square, they've got that sports bar right outside the arena.
Trying to make the experience. Everybody knows in Regina how much of a pain it can be to go to an event and then have a big cluster of vehicles. And sometimes it can take 45 minutes to get out of there. And so if you had another option to maybe go before a game, after a game, or an event, I think certainly a lot of people will like that. We'll see if this one actually comes to fruition, unlike the other one. Andrew Shepherd in with me this morning. Much more coming up on the news, Andrew, but the wildfire situation, obviously, it seems like it almost gets worse every day. LaRange has all kinds of new damage now.
Yeah, we're learning that the fire's burning through the heart of that community. Videos online and Facebook show it's destroyed the Rona and the iconic Robertson Trading Post. And these are right in the heart of the community. Trading Post, it closed last year. We had a story on CJME.com.
Yeah.
At the time, people were sharing their memories of this store. One person said you could smell the smoked moose hide coated your nostrils the moment you walked into the building. Someone else wrote, I've never experienced a place like Robertson's store elsewhere. Doubt I ever will. Yeah, it's just that we've also heard from a woman, Denise Thompson, who lost her home to fire again. It's her second home she's lost to wildfires, one way back in 1999, and she says it's almost comical.
Well, and you hear her in her voice, and she is surprisingly more upbeat than you would think for somebody who has gone through this before.
She is.
And maybe she's used that past experience to know that she can, you know, rebuild her life. And so, but, you know, like I hear her and I think, wow, like that takes a lot of courage to have your place burned down again and still be willing to, you know, spread the information, give an interview to us, tell your story.
And her husband's a water bomber pilot. That's why she says it's like almost comical to lose two homes.
And a lot of evacuees. We're talking, the premier laid out yesterday, 15,000 are going to be out of their homes if they aren't already. Regina's taking a number of those in.
Yeah, the city has activated its emergency operations center to support these evacuees. The fire chief tells us about 700 evacuees are in Regina. They're staying in places like hotels and at the U of R.
Thank you very much, Andrew Shepherd. We'll be back in just a few minutes for the news. CJME News Time is now 6:58. 7:15 on Wednesday morning. Kevin Martell in for Greg Morgan. A new CFL season is about to hit. The Rough Riders are hosting the Ottawa Red Blacks tomorrow night at Mosaic Stadium. Let's get it started. On the line with me this morning is the Green Zone Rider reporter, Britton Gray. Now, before we hear from Britton on the phone, just hang on just one hot minute, Britton. On a brand new episode of the Blitz podcast, Britton makes an interesting prediction of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders winning the Grey Cup.
Yeah, you know what? I have to talk to the guys every day. The Saskatchewan Rough Riders. I'm covering a celebration in Winnipeg.
Britton Gray, explain yourself, young man.
I mean, in the CFL, continuity really is an underrated thing with how much movement there often is. I just really like what this team did in terms of bringing everyone back, taking another step forward, and adding a couple pieces here and there. Now, of course, I also mentioned you can't predict injuries just on paper. This team on paper, when you look from top to bottom of the roster, even with a couple injuries, I think is still the most complete roster in the CFL. And that's why I do have them making the Grey Cup this season.
Are you confident enough, Britton, to get a tattoo of Riders 2025 Grey Cup champions?
No, not that confident.
Hey, so last day before the season really starts for the Riders, what's happening today with the team?
Today's just a walkthrough. We'll get the depth chart a little bit later this morning, see exactly how this team is rolling out. But just a walkthrough, all the hard work is essentially done. Now it's just kind of really counting down to the CFL regular season and can't wait for it to get underway.
Are we worried about the offensive line? This seems like it's been an ongoing storyline with this team. You've talked about it in the Blitz. You've talked about it extensively. Is that the big question? And you mentioned just a moment ago, you can never predict injuries. Already we've seen major injuries on the offensive line. Is that the biggest question mark with this team this year?
Yeah, that really is the one concern so far. Already dealing with some injuries to Sean McEwen and Philippe Gagnon, who were two of the big free agent signings for this team. But if you go all the way back to last season, this team found a way to overcome way more injuries, at least during the regular season, than they're dealing with right now. And when you looked at training camp, they're only really missing one starter, Sean McEwen. Philippe Gagnon wasn't with the starting group at training camp because this team is going with three American offensive linemen. Now Jacob Brammer, Corey Mason yesterday going to be a game-time decision. We'll see what it looks like on the depth chart today. But this team has been very good at overcoming offensive line injuries, and that's a credit to Edwin Harrison and the work he's done as the offensive line coach.
Green Zone Rider reporter Britton Gray joining me this morning talking about the Riders and the upcoming season. In our sports this morning, Britton, you have a story about Aaron Patrick. Do you think he's a game changer?
I don't know about game changer in his first CFL season, but I think he can definitely make an impact, especially as a defensive end. We don't know the health of Shane Ray. He already dealt with a twisted ankle throughout training camp. He says he's good, but Aaron Patrick comes with some NFL experience. And head coach Corey Mace praised his special teams work, saying that there's not a guy who does what he does in terms of his size, his speed, his will to do it. And so I think he'll find a way to make impacts throughout this entire regular season with this team.
And finally, the team just signed a punter too.
Yeah, the punting battle continues even after training camp. James Evans gets released from Winnipeg. I thought he punted really well in the preseason, and they brought him in to bring in some competition against Joe Couch, who has a big leg. Absolutely, he can fire that ball down the field, but there's a little bit of concerns with his consistency and maybe placement, so that's why the team goes out. You bring a little bit of competition and still try and figure out that punting situation with the retirement of Adam Korsak this offseason.
Thanks for this, Britton.
Not a problem.
Green Zone Rider reporter Britton Gray. And kickoff for the game tomorrow, by the way, 7 tomorrow night, with the Green Zone pregame show beginning at 5. Stanley Cup Final Game 1 tonight. Edmonton Oilers, Florida Panthers. If you were hoping to go to Rogers Place in Edmonton for Games 1 or 2, yep, this is not going to surprise you. Get that wallet out. You're going to have to dig really deep. You might have to go into some savings. The cheapest individual seat for tonight is around $1,000. $1,000. Some of the resellers, though, are asking closer to 10 grand. Evan Bray joining me right now.
Well, I can tell you I have tickets for game five.
I'm not going to ask you how much you spent.
It was close to $1,000. But we bought them like when they came on sale. We didn't buy them through a reseller. These aren't, tickets someone's trying to make money on, but these are jacked up prices that's what you pay to go to a playoff game.
And this is game five?
Game five. Yeah.
So you could see the Stanley Cup depending how it shakes
that's
out.
That's the way it plays out in my mind.
Yeah.
Is we're watching them hoist the cup, but I mean, I guess we'll see. I do feel like this is a different team this year, Kev. I think, last year, obviously, they were down 3-0 at the start of the series and came back to tie it up. I feel like it's a different story. They've got a calm confidence this year. So I'm feeling good for the Oilers.
And that's what Connor McDavid has said, too, right?
Sure.
Like, it hasn't been quite the struggle. You didn't say exactly struggle, but he said certainly from a mental perspective, says it's been different. And that could mean everything on the ice.
Absolutely. Yeah. So game one tonight is going to be a big one for sure.
Big story that we are following. And we first broke it yesterday morning yesterday early afternoon. And this is somebody that you have worked very closely with over the years, Rhonda Blackmore, commanding officer of the RCMP F Division. She is out in a new letter that she sent to her members.
Mm-hmm.
She said that a series of complaints were made against her, and so National made the decision to remove her.
Right. So this is such a complete joke, Kevin. Like, I'm not kidding. I can't even tell you how ripping mad I am about what is a disservice to one of the strongest policing leaders I've ever worked with. Rhonda Blackmore is now an outstanding leader. You will find officers and civilian personnel throughout this province in Canada that stand up and vouch for the incredible person she is. However, she has ruffled feathers. God forbid, she do something that stands up for her members and has ruffled feathers in the organization. So you've got HR policy decision makers lodging complaints about not following perfectly policy when it comes to members that she's got that are off with mental health or stress leaves. She's been trying to get the attention of the Ottawa office with some of the stresses that frontline officers in this province are facing due to workload, due to low numbers, due to all of these things. Heaven forbid, Kevin, heaven forbid that she has the gall to try and stand up for her members. I'm telling you right now, this is a witch hunt. And I'm going to talk about this at 9:30, much more exclusively on my show. But I'm disgusted by what I'm seeing. And if this doesn't get corrected by the commissioner of the RCMP, Mike Duhem, to me, he's gone. To me, he needs to go. This is the problem with the RCMP. And by the way, this is unfolding within years of them wanting to re-sign a contract for provincial policing across this province and other provinces. This doesn't bode well for the organization. And I'll just say it one more time. Nothing to do with the frontline members. Those people do a great job. But Kev, I'm disgusted by what's playing out here.
Powerful words. We look forward to more of how you, and of course you guys work very closely in James Smith, Cree Nation, and she's been a guest on your show.
She's a guest on my show every month.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, I got lots of thoughts. I got lots of information, not from her, because she's been ordered, by the way, that she can't talk to stakeholders in this province as a result of this investigation, which that's not even a thing. This whole thing is fraught with problems, and we'll be discussing it this morning.
And of course, a lot more on your show today about wildfires. Evan Bray is back after the 8:30 news.